Okay, so I believe we do have a quorum. And so let's say the Pledge of Allegiance. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. If you all had a moment to just look at your agenda, and if I don't see any objections to it, except for we're going to add one thing to the consent agenda, which is we're going to put in August 10th study session minutes to the, and we're going to add that to the consent agenda. Thank you. So, are there any objections to the agenda? If not, does somebody want to make a motion to accept the
agenda? Well, wait a minute. I'm making one objection.
Okay.
I don't see a line for treasurer's report.
That's the bank reconciliation.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, you didn't list treasurer, so I can't read.
It was a quiz.
Oh, okay.
You passed.
Ah. It was a close call, though.
Okay, so do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion then to accept the agenda as published.
Okay. I second.
Okay, then let's vote on that, please. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nobody feels against it. Okay, so we're into the consent agenda. So the first thing on the item is the July 26th, 2023 minutes. And take a moment to go through those. Does anybody have any concerns about the minutes, Ms. Brennan? Seeing none, can I have a...
We can just go on.
Oh, that's right. We're doing the consent agenda. We're going to roll everything into the consent agenda and then just do that at one time. I apologize. Okay, correspondence says we don't have any.
And we had added the study session to that,
mm-hmm.
too.
And then... the study session minutes are now part of the consent agenda, and those are in the packet. Upper County Library District study session minutes. I thought that was a really good meeting, by the way.
It was a good meeting.
I think one of the things that, as I reflect on the way we made, is a lot of real good communication back and forth and some devil's advocate, a little joviality, a little salt and pepper.
Okay.
page. And then next, we have the July bank reconciliation that some refer to as the treasurer's report.
Well, I did sign the reconciliation sheets today earlier, so they're all signed, and you, I assume you have that.
Yep.
Okay, I'll read through the amounts. Here are Bank of Oklahoma. We have the whole $21,975.55 was cleared to us in a check, which we received and has been deposited in the Community Bank of Colorado. So that bank account now shows zero. The Bank of the money market account, this is with bank, well, it's Bank of TW, what, I'm not sure what that stands for nowadays, but
the West.
Well, it's no longer Bank of the West. It's something else.
Oh, okay.
It's BOBTOM or something like that. I'm going to have to look at the sign closer next time I go in and out the doors here. Anyway, we had a starting balance of $715,049.79. We incurred interest of $1,275.34. So we now have a current ending balance of $716,325.13 in that account. Okay, the Community Bank, our money market account there. This is, no, actually, the first one I have here is a checking account. We had a beginning balance of $673,970.24. We had transactions that between checks, there were 39 checks issued in that period. And then we had deposits. There was five items. The deposits total $326,463.38. So we ended up with, after we deducted the 39 checks, which totaled $109,164.73, we ended up with a net our ending cleared balance at the end was $891,268.89. That's what's in the current checking account at Community Banks. Actually, and then we had one other deposit. So we had an additional deposit, and I'm not sure where this came from. This might have been the $26,000. From Bank of Oklahoma and some other things, but we had an additional deposit of $36,488.84. So we have an ending balance, excuse me, this is the correct ending balance in the checking account now of $921,894.36. The money market account, this is the actually, this is where the deposit was made of the Bank of Oklahoma. So there was a starting balance of $683,005.50, and so then that $123.51 was deposited into that money market. So we now have a current balance in that money market account at Community Bank of $705,129.01.
So we're through with Bank of Oklahoma?
For the time being. We don't have an open account there. It could be activated at any time, if I understand it correctly.
Do you think they're going to be okay without our account?
Probably.
Okay.
They were, I don't know, when Susan and I was there, they made no comment about whether the money was where it was going, other than the fact that they would issue us a check. And we got the check, what was it, about 10 days later?
Yeah, something like that.
And so I almost was thinking that they were going to give us a call to find out why we were taking the money out and closing the account, but never happened. So anyway.
But I do believe it,
We weren't making any, it was costing us money.
Yeah, I know. That was what the joke was about. Right. But we don't want to slam any doors in case we were ever to have to.
Well, the only problem there is we were losing $2 every month.
Right.
Can I jump in real quick?
Sure.
The Community Banks of Colorado money market account. They called me on Monday and told me that as of midnight, they would increase our interest rate to 2.75%.
Oh, wow.
So, because I went over and talked with the local bank manager there, and she had to talk with her counterpart at the center office who does the, I don't know if we're considered an institutional account or a government account. And so we don't bring in a lot of money for them, but they were kind enough to increase our interest rate.
We're actually getting a better interest rate from Community Banks than we are getting from the old Bank of the West deal, yes. Which was 2.5. So that's cool. In our beginning, this is a payroll account. We had a beginning balance of $160,616.83. We issued payroll, which we did payroll, which was $44,351.11 was the total amount in checks, which were 9 checks issued. We had deposits and credits, and this was the $63,000 that Susan and I deposited to help cover, which it appears we didn't need. Anyway, so we had transactions cleared of an additional $18,648.89. So we have a current balance of $179,265.72. So I have a gut feeling we need to not deposit any more money for at least 2 months for 2 months' payroll.
Well, we have it all planned out to deposit throughout the year. And we were generous with that amount just to make sure that we wouldn't, because we run into some steep problems if we overdraw that account. Paylocity gets kind of cranky with us. So
maybe what we need to do is at the end of the year, take as much money as possible and put it back in that other money market deal, which is now paying us 2.7. But do that at the end of the year. Yeah. There'll be a couple of months there that we won't get interest, but we're doing better than average. So again, we have an ending balance of $179,265.72. So that's our accounts. What I should do is run a gross total of what we have money. I don't know if that's important to anybody or not. If it is, I'll total up things here Because we, it appears we have, somewhere close to $2 million. So we actually, we are in very, very good shape. We were, once we get this use study done, we're going to have to come up with a plan on what we're going to do. Because otherwise, county commissioners are going to start breathing down our back about how come we're sitting on so much money.
I think it's an easy explanation, it's at the same time, you're right.
So do they have authority to take our money?
They wouldn't, they can't get their hands on their money. What they could do is start to question or create questions for us why we are getting the mill levy we're getting.
And they want to see progress.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I've tried to indicate to a couple people. I talked to Grant Thayer last week, and I told him that we were in the process of coming up with some ideas, and it was going to be based on our use study deal to kind of let him know that things were in the works, and it would, things would change sometime within the next 6 months or so. And it was going to take a little bit of time to get that stuff done. And he said, I understand. So we'll see if he understands or not.
Well, they know. It's been mentioned to them before that we're arrow straight on where we're going. That we had to pay the building off. We had to start putting funds away. We can't move into a growth cycle until we have enough cash and we have an assessment so that whatever we do makes sense for the community. So I think we're on really firm footing.
I agree. He was impressed that we were going through the motions of getting the best interest possible for our savings deal. He was floored that we were getting that kind of interest on our money, and I didn't give him all the amounts or anything, but I let him know that things were making, we were drawing much better interest than we have ever had in the recent past.
Kudos to you, Alan, because you really have stayed on focus on that since I've been on the board.
Well, so Wendy, before she left, Wendy started it. And I and Susan got it going, and it's paid off. I mean, we're now making almost $1,200 a month, and once the 2.7 account kicks in, we're going to be netting close to $3,000 a month in interest that we never ever got before.
So that's great. Okay. We've actually got the budget. Yeah. Okay. You want to?
So in your packets, it's not where you would expect it to be, but this is the budget to actual document. I mentioned it to you last time and asked if it would be something that you would like to see. I mean, it makes sense to me that you would want to take a look at it. So the first part tells us where all of our income is coming from grants and property taxes and the specific ownership tax, which is the car tags. And then the second part, operating revenue, those are like the fees that we bring in, for example, for the meeting room, or for copies that people make here at the library. They pay for copies that we print for them. And then the expenses are listed below. It starts with all of the salaries, and everything kind of associated with the salaries, the para and unemployment insurance. And then like 2,600, $3,600 is where our supplies come in. So that's got our books, printed materials, that's the physical books, non-print materials, that would be DVDs and audiobooks, magazines, databases, and then we've got library supplies, office supplies, any marketing expenses. The state grant, we did a little bit differently this year, so we spent it as a whole rather than each of the libraries spending it individually. We bought our databases with that. We went over a tiny bit on our audit, so 2.72%, a little bit more on an audit. Then we've got all the computer services, courier services, like our integrated library system, that's the AspenCat, the online catalog that we have. Travel, building maintenance, grounds maintenance, utilities, property insurance, memberships, and then our programming is the 7734 and 7735. Those are the programming. We've got legal and human resources. So whenever I have to call the lawyer and ask him a question, or if I email them, that's where that money comes out. We've got $200,000 in the capital improvements fund. So if we did anything this year on the libraries, that would be. And then the last item is that current capital improvement. And so that's the money that we're going to be using to pay the consultant for his work. That the budget amount there is $50,000. So we're going to pay our consultant with those funds. And then the total expense, this is what I have been reporting to you, like how much we've been spending. We've spent $581,000. Our budget is $1.37 million. And so as of the end of July, which is how many of the month? It's 58.3% of the year. We've only spent 42.4% of our budget. So that's where we are. Any questions about the profit and loss statement? Does this?
That was very helpful.
Yes, thank you. For copiers and, you know, like office equipment that are not computers, where are those?
So that is a good question, and that's something that I've been struggling with and want to change next year in the budget. So I actually have been interpreting computer really broadly. And I mean, like, we've been buying a lot of computer peripherals and stuff too, and I don't have a place for that. Like, I buy a lot of mice and keyboards, and I don't have a place for that. So again, I just kind of, you know,
electronic,
right? It's okay. And so next year I really want to do some more. I'm trying to define better, you know, what each of these categories, what we're using those for.
Do we own or lease our copiers?
We do. Yeah, that. I think we own all of our printers and stuff and the copier. So, any other questions about the budget?
I'm pretty sure we own them because I don't remember issuing a check to pay somebody for leasing any kind of computer equipment ever. So I think we've always owned everything.
And I'm sure this has come up in the news, so I'm maybe just not calling it databases. So we have a big expense in database.
Right.
Over what we thought we were going to have.
Right.
Is that?
So what happened was the databases got. So this is where we spent our state funds, and then they were put under databases rather than being taken off. 37335 for the state grants.
So it kind of includes another line.
Yeah. The state grant total is what, like $10,000, $11,000 or something like that. And that's basically where the databases thing is.
Thank you.
Yeah. I know. I was like, what the heck? What did we do there?
Did
they
do that?
Grades go up
that much?
Yes.
Okay, so by doing this on your consent agenda, then we'll approve or disapprove of the entire agenda. But before we do that, are there any questions about any of the items on the consent agenda, including the study session minutes? And seeing none, if I could have a motion to accept the consent agenda.
I would second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So we're moving on now to committee reports. Community needs assessment.
So the Community Needs Assessment Committee hasn't really been meeting. so
I was going to say,
we're down to a committee of one, or a work group of one. I put in your handout, it's a double-sided sheet.
Yes.
And so let's start with the side with the boxes. This is what he's calling our proposed group interviews. It looks like this on one side. So he, our consultant says he can do upwards of four structured group interviews in a day. And so he was proposing to do it October 23rd, 24th, and then we had a board meeting on the 25th. But it turns out that's not going to work for him because he's got to go to a conference where he has to present a book that he has written. So he's asking if we could move it out another week, which would mean that it would be October 30th, October 31st, and November 1st. And so this is kind of a big ask for you. It would mean that we would have a study session for the board a week after we have a board meeting. So we would have the board meeting on October 25th, and then our study session would be on November 1st.
Okay, and so these group interviews, what are these?
So these are interviews that we have out. They may not necessarily be in the library, but these are like, he calls them structured group interviews, and we invite members of the community to come in and talk with us about what they see the needs are in the community.
And we're going to get people to a meeting on Halloween.
Oh, that's true. We didn't even think about that, did we? It would be the Agate meeting on Halloween that evening. I didn't. I don't know. I'll have to go back with him about that. Thank you for bringing that up.
I don't have a problem with doing.
No, I never see a trick or treater.
Well, no, I know, but yeah, I mean the
people
one
take their kids just in the 80s,
and, yeah, yeah,
trunk or treat.
The one at Agate is at the school, or that's where we would probably propose to have the meeting. Mm-hmm. So that would not be a good location because they probably have some kind of event or something like that. So thank you. Well, I'll take that back to him again. Okay. So, but I'm also planning to be on vacation. So this actually works better for me to do it on the 30th, 31st, and the 1st. But it does mean that you all would need a study session a week after we had a board meeting. But it will be fun. I mean, yes. I mean,
we're already going to
have dancing dogs or something.
Well, so
now we get to give her opinion.
Oh,
no. Okay. Bring your fan.
I thought we needed a shovel.
But he says it'll be an informal opportunity to meet with the board and provide immediate feedback from the community engagement sessions. So
let's go back for just a second.
Sure.
I hate to be totally naive on this, but they are actually sort of in charge of these meetings, though.
Yeah, they'll facilitate the meetings.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we're even discussing whether the meeting will be at the library or at another location, just to make it very neutral. So, I mean, some places we can't be at the library because there is no library. So like the northwest corner, that would be on Monday, October 30th. I'm going to need to look for some kind of a location.
We've got a silo in Agate.
So, on October 31st, I was thinking about meeting at the school in Agate, but that's Halloween, so not such a great plan. So we're going to have to redo that. Right. But we're just going to try to publicize the heck out of it. You know, we'll have it in all the libraries. We'll put it in the newspapers. We'll put it in. We'll put it on social media.
And by them facilitating it, they're not expecting us to be there.
No.
Because that would, I think, taint the experience.
Right. Okay. And that's why he would like to meet with you guys separately, just to kind of summarize what he's learned in those meetings. And, you know, just to kind of.
Right.
And to see what you all say, too, because you're another kind of group with opinions, too. So, absolutely.
I'll try and save.
Okay. So, I'll take this back to him and say, hey, we forgot Halloween. So, and then if you turn over the page, this is another part of what the consultant is asking for us to give him a list of people in the county who are very connected. And I put together this list, and if we could talk about them by number, I just don't feel comfortable talking about them by bringing up their names on when we're recording the meeting. You know, if there's someone else that you would recommend for that, you know, we can definitely do that. I was trying to do a combination of some government, some business, schools, like a faith leader, you know, just to kind of try to get, and also somebody from the media. But that, to me, there's only like about three people from the media that were possibilities. So, you know, if you want to, I don't know how comfortable I don't want it to be misconstrued in any way, you know. But I mean, some of these people are, you know, they know just so much about the community that they are absolute no-brainers. But some of them I don't know, but they're in positions. You know, they have a large following or something like that.
And we did have some discussions on this list.
Yeah.
Together, so.
I guess we did have a committee meeting, but it was.
I only know two people on this list.
So.
Albert.
Yeah.
I just kind of look at the towns. It's, you know, Elizabeth, Kiowa, Albert. It's kind of hitting the south end of the county.
Okay.
And I know that the commissioners had commented that we have not provided anything up Independence's up there, the Singing Hills people. And I have a friend that just moved into a brand new house up there. And I don't think they have anything available to them. Period.
Right. And we're inviting them to be in our group interviews. But if you know of a specific individual that's a real connected kind of person in those areas? So
no.
That is the difficulty.
But that's just like ordinary citizen type thing.
Yeah. I do think that people that we lined up in the Elizabeth area have pretty good working knowledge of this corner of the.
I was going to add, there's one other person he's a former real estate agent. He was on the planning commission for that did the overall planning deal for the county. And I don't know if we want to mention his name, but he's.
Well, if you have somebody, what I'd like you to do is just to.
Okay, I'll talk to her and get it. I have to, I don't know if I have a phone number on me right now, but he has two sons that work at Safeway. And so he was very knowledgeable, was really instrumental in this stuff in the planning of their zoning stuff for around the county. He's been here forever. He's was the real estate agent on my house. And
I would like to mention one other issue about the northwest corner, and that is there it will always have a certain cloud of, how do we look at a problem of growth? And one of the things that's happening is that essentially a handful of developers who are building significantly large developments have come in, and we end up then, since you've been here anyway, we've had the commissioners come and say, well, what are you going to do about that? And my answer to them is, what are you going to do about it? Because nobody has contacted us in terms of the growth, where it's going, who should be responsible. Are there any of the developers that would like to attend a meeting where we could talk about perhaps some ground?
Well, that brings up another point then. In the Elizabeth area, how about the person that owns Spring Valley? He's involved in a lot of that development up there, and he probably has a better key on what those people are trying to do.
And
I don't know, he might have a warped viewpoint, but...
I guess my point is that it's pretty simple for people on the outside to look in and say, what are the libraries going to do? But we haven't been invited in on any of the growth patterns or where things were coming, et cetera. Nobody said, and how will this impact your current growth plans? And if we had a crystal ball from when we started paying off the building and everything else, we might have taken the time to say, well, we've got this growth is coming. But it's been rampant since I've been on the board.
Yep.
And the houses are going up very quickly. So it's going to have to be a combined effort. And so this is going to take some
work. That's why I think if we could get aligned to this person with the youth committee talking to that developer group to see kind of where they're going from, he may get a really warped viewpoint of what they want to do, because they're all about how much money they're going to make. And
so maybe we could have a committee meeting.
Yeah, I think that's really important.
Because I need to get this finalized and get the contact information. Ask them if they're willing to participate and get the contact information to the consultant.
We may also want to include somebody from the Stampede, either the board or maybe the head of their sponsorship committee.
So that was my number. My number six is a nod towards that.
Okay.
But I was trying to. I didn't specifically address the Stampede. So.
Okay.
So. But that's, I'll put that on. I printed out the fair folks from all of the different, the people on the boards, because I thought if they're active in the community that way, they probably know pretty much of what's going on.
Yeah.
And so that's why I chose the two that I chose.
I was just kind of looking at the Stampede's website, and I know Leanne Russell is the head of the sponsorships, and she's probably talking to everybody in the county.
Okay, so we'll finalize it with the committee. Then.
That's fine.
Okay. The other one, just last piece of what I'm doing. So I'm corresponding with the consultant like several times a week. Right now, he's looking at our data from our annual report that we submit to the Colorado State Library. And after it goes to the Colorado State Library, it gets uploaded to the Institute of Museums and Library Services, the IMLS website, which is national. And so he is benchmarking us to other libraries within our size range across the US, and specifically also back into Colorado as well. So he's crunching all that data right now. So that's everything I have. Oh, but do you want to, I mean, assuming that we keep this schedule of October 30th and 31st and November 1st, do you want to vote on having a study session on November 1st at 6 p.m.?
I'm fine with that. So any discussion on that? Okay, would somebody like to make a motion?
Since I'm on a roll. Okay, I'll make a motion for a study session on November 1st. And this is going to be during the day, or you want this in the evening?
Six. We were going to do it at the evening time, okay. Like 6. It would be 6 o'clock or 6:30.
Six. Yeah. Evening. Okay, so November 1st, 6 o'clock in the evening. And is this going to be at the Elizabeth Library?
Can I have a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Do you, oh yeah, Employee Handbook Committee. There we go.
So Matt helped me format the table of contents on the handbook, and I emailed that out to you. I made the changes that we talked about at the meeting. So
are we ready?
I don't know. Are we ready to go?
Have that here if anybody wants to look at it. I only have the one copy though.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's probably good for Alan to take.
He's gonna pass it off for now.
Did he do a beautiful job with that?
Anybody want to chime in on this?
I'm happy that we had a productive meeting.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like we had a really productive meeting.
I was going to say, I thought things when we left, that's why I mentioned it earlier, is that I really thought that was a good study session. I didn't see any problems with it.
Okay.
So we want to
take your word for it.
So are we, do you think we're ready to vote on adopting the handbook? Is that kind of where we're at?
I think we can.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So would somebody like to move that?
Is it appropriate for me to?
Sure.
I move that we adopt the handbook presented.
Okay. I would second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You look like you would have cried.
No, I'll try not to cheer up.
It's done.
Yes. Okay. Director's annual review. I want to just start this off by saying that we have spent the committee, which is with Ann and myself, we've gone over the things that you've been able to cover since you've been here. We, you know, I have to say just right out front that you hit the ground running, you haven't stopped, you're doing a bang up job. The atmosphere, you know, in terms of, you know, how employees seem to be, you know, going through things, the amount of change that we've had to run into, everything seems to be moving forward in a very positive way. So we still got to discuss this, but suffice it to say, it's a glowing recommendation, and we will, as soon as we finalize it, we'll discuss more.
I'm just really grateful to have all of you as part of the board, and you just are amazing to work with, and I'm just really grateful for that. And the staff is fabulous.
We've got a pretty good assistant director as well.
Which, that helps a lot.
Okay. Let's see here. All right, so do we want to approve number five as a whole?
I don't.
We don't really need to.
No.
Okay, so number six, the director's report. Has anybody seen the director?
I don't know where she is. No. So just want to start with some staff updates. So one of our newest employees, Becca Fitzgerald, she started the same day Matt did. She found another job, and so her last day at Simla as a LS library service technician at Simla was August 12th, but she's going to continue to substitute for us. And we had a new library service technician start at Simla on July 31st, so we had a little bit of overlap and some training. Her name is Orne Heil, and so she started with us and it seems to be doing really great. Sophie De La Mora will start on August 28th as our new branch manager at Kiowa and Elbert, and we're very excited to have her come. She had hoped to come tonight to the meeting to be able to meet you all, but her daughter got sick at school today, and so she had to take her to the doctor instead of coming to the meeting. So, and I put her resume in your packet just so that you could kind of review who Sophie is and just, you know, I'm really excited to have her come work with us. So, and then Janie Eno, our library service lead here at Elizabeth, has announced her retirement.
Aww.
So she worked for the school system and got para, and then was looking for another para job and found a job with us. But now she's officially retiring. Her husband is already retired. So her last day is September 15th. So Lori's got the position posted, and
we had a new one today.
Oh, we got two applicants already.
We're up to three.
Oh, three. Awesome.
She's been with us how long now?
About 2 years.
Yeah.
And she's terrific.
She's really terrific. Yeah. And then I wanted to, I added a new feature, Pines and Plains in the news. So we were featured in the newspapers twice, or actually one coming up. So we were featured in the Ranchland News in the August 17th edition. And Mary Powell, who is a member of the Elizabeth School Board, wrote an article highlighting a program that they sponsored here at the library called Meet Me at the Library. And we had two groups that participated in that. It was sponsored by a publisher called Brave Books. And so Lori was here that day. It was a Saturday. They had 10 adults and 6 kids, and they did stories and songs and crafts. And so the article tells you all about what they did during their program. And then we're going to be featured in the next Elbert County newspaper. They're talking about Courtney Fay, the reporter Courtney Fay interviewed Lori about the county's little free libraries. And we have four of them around Elizabeth, but we don't have them anywhere else.
I think there's one out for Spring Valley, because I think, remember when Nick Wright came in, but it didn't show up on little free libraries. Uh-huh. And I have no idea, since Nick is gone, who's taking care of it.
I'll have to look for that one then. Those are sponsored by the Library Foundation, and the Friends fill them with books. So, and then just kind of to give you a summary of the summer reading program, we ended with a bang. The leadership team is going to gather next Wednesday to kind of celebrate the success. We're taking the activity services guides out to brunch and talk about our successes with the summer reading program. We had 2,552 log entries for reading a book or doing an activity. And then our participants read 68,994 minutes, whoa, which translates into 1,150 hours. So that's really fun. That's really fun. We sent out our first newsletter the week of August 7th, and we're going to try and send out shorter newsletters like about every 2 weeks rather than doing a newsletter once a month that's longer. We figured people's attention span today is so short that we just want to do two topics per newsletter and just get it out there. So our first newsletter was about story time and all the times we offer story time. And we also talked about Prospector, the new feature that we have where you can request books pretty much from anywhere in Colorado, from CU Boulder, you know, anywhere in Colorado. So it's a great feature and it's been used pretty heavily already. So that's really exciting. Our statistics, you can see that in your packet. We are holding really steady with our circulation. It's the one that looks like this. So our circulation for the summer has been really good and high, 9,700 for June, 8,200 for July, and 9,200, pardon me, oh, July 2022, I see, pardon me, I'm reading the wrong thing. So June of this year, our circulation was 9,700, and July, our circulation was 9,200, so really looking good. And we had a good number of new cardholders. And I unfortunately don't have the programming numbers for you.
You didn't get them done?
I've been substituting as the leader of Kiowa and Elbert, and I didn't get mine done either. So we're all good with that. And then at the bottom, it just summarizes the budget that we've already talked about earlier in the meeting too. Just the buildings, the facilities. The Friends is still working on the installation of the back door at Kiowa, and this is delayed now with door framing issues. So we're hoping that they'll be able to resolve that. In Kiowa, just because I'm always looking, I'm still looking for houses. I look about once a week. The house next to the library in Kiowa has gone under contract, but they're accepting backup offers. Mm-hmm. So just and then there was an article in the newspaper this week that the location that the gentleman had offered us to rent in Elbert at the
the mall there.
The mall. So they were working with the county because they need to have a handicapped restroom installed in that building. So, and apparently they don't have funds for that. So I'm just kind of, you know, I'm keeping my feelers out is what I'm just wanting to let you know.
That gentleman, if he sees me anywhere, he'll sprint towards me. And then we discuss that building.
Yeah. They are really nice people. And I met him and his wife, and I gave him a little tour, showed him the warehouse, and they were impressed with that. Just wanted to give you a little heads up on some upcoming time off. I mentioned this to you last time that I would be taking off tomorrow, August 24th, but I'm only going to take off half day tomorrow. But I'll take off all day Friday. So I have to go tomorrow night. I have to go with our grandsons to Introduction to Band so that they will decide what instrument, the older one will decide what instrument he wants to play. And then we're going to go back to school night.
No drums.
No drums. he's thinking about clarinet, which is what I played. And they don't have school on Friday. So we'll be with them on Friday. And then in October, I mentioned this sort of briefly in passing. I'm looking at maybe taking a week off to go to Legoland,
with the whole, it's like, I mean, there's eight of us and it's like six adults and two kids. But,
it's tell the priorities there.
I mean, definitely some of the adults there are Lego fans too. So we're going to.
Where is the Lego World?
Legoland. They have them. I think there's one on the East Coast. We're going to go to the one near San Diego.
Yeah.
And so that's we don't have flights or hotel or anything yet, but that's the idea. So, and next month I'm going to be continuing budgeting, working on budgeting. The staff is getting together all their budget proposals to me, and I'll be training our new branch manager, Sophie. And also on Friday, I should receive our property tax estimates so I can really start budgeting because I'll know kind of more of what we'll have for that. So that is my director's report. Any questions?
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Sure.
Thanks.
And I mean, if you want more stuff written out, I mean, but that means I send you more paper, so whatever.
Okay.
Okay.
Library Foundation, Albert Friends Financial Report.
So Wendy Walp stopped by the other day and dropped by the financial report for the Friends and for the Elbert Friends only, and also for the foundation. So Elbert Friends have $1,300 in their account right now, and they're getting ready to do a book sale in Elbert at the Mercantile. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? Is that what it's called? Yeah. At the Mercantile. Yeah. So they're going to have several weeks, I believe, where they'll have a book sale there. So they're cleaning out. They had some stuff up in our warehouse. They're cleaning that all out and taking that to Elbert for sale.
Yeah, whenever you're out there, the Elbert's Women's Club is instrumental in everything that's out there in Elbert. Get a chance, talk to them, and thank them. They're great people.
They are. And I've also got the financial report from the foundation. And am I correct, Sheila, you and Alan?
I'm the president.
You're president? Okay.
And Wendy, occasionally I touch base with her. And okay. It's a hit or miss deal. I'm not as active as I should be.
So if I understand in reading this correctly, the foundation has a total of $58,192.35 saved up. So this is like multi-year. It goes back to 2019, all the donations they've received, and then all their expenses as well. So
they do a couple of things a year. They do a wine tasting and a couple other things. We've had I went last year or was it year before last, they had a sale at the Christmas Days deal in Elbert, and we didn't make a lot of money, but we made money. Every little bit counts. I think it was like $300-$400.
Yeah. They do a good job. Okay. Any other comments on that? Budget amendment request?
So I wanted to request, as we bring in a new branch manager, I wanted to ask if we could transfer $10,000 from our surplus to the branch manager line item for that new position, or for the position that we're filling.
Well, I for one don't have any problem okay. with that at all.
So it's a you all have approved the budget officially, so you have, because we're making a change to it, we're amending it. So
you're moving that from where to where?
It'll go from surplus. So
got it.
It's
I asked Mary Ellen how to phrase it, and she said that it should just be from surplus.
No, that's fine. I understand what you mean. It's in one ear and not the other.
Yeah, and I don't, I mean, because I don't know if looking at the profit and loss, if you can identify, but I can't tell you.
Yes, exactly. I can tell.
So is this to like give her a budget for?
No, it's salary.
It's her salary.
Yeah.
Just for the end of the year, 10,000 to the end of the year.
It'll be, yeah, yeah. But not actually, it rounds out the whole year. So it.
Okay.
So you probably need a motion.
Okay.
You probably need a motion. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. So, if we're going to make that move, we're probably going to need to have a motion and a vote.
Mm-hmm.
So, does somebody want to try and put that in words? Go ahead.
I'll make a motion that we move the $10,000 from surplus in the budget to this new account, which will fund the.
It's an existing account.
It's an existing account to fund that for the balance of the year.
Mm-hmm. The branch manager.
The branch manager fund.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved.
Is that going to show up as a separate bank account then on the next month? No. Okay.
Yeah.
Just be in payroll.
It's right. In the budget. It's a budget code.
Okay. Yeah.
And it doesn't actually change the budget versus actual. We just have to know that, like earlier in the year, we made a change. We rolled some money from the admin assistant position to the ASG. I think we did that in January or February or something like that to make sure that we had enough to cover there. And it's the same thing where we did a budget amendment
for that. Okay, you want to move on to Proposition HH?
Whoopee. So I forwarded an email to you this week from the head of the Special District Association. And she let us know that the Colorado Supreme Court cannot make a ruling on, or will not make a ruling on Proposition HH. So what has to happen is that Proposition HH has to be approved by the voters first. And if it's approved by the voters, then the Colorado Supreme Court will look at it and give it a thumbs up or whatever they do to it.
Okay.
So that means it will be on the ballot. That was part of the lawsuit, was trying to just have it not be on the ballot altogether.
Well, it will be.
It will
so
be.
The ballot is going to be in November?
Yeah. The ballot will be in November.
Okay. And the advertising has already begun.
I haven't seen it yet, so that's.
I have.
What is it lean for?
I'm sorry?
What is it lean towards?
Well, what I'm seeing so far is most of the advertising at this point is that HH is the work of Satan.
Woo!
No. In all seriousness, it is the nays, you know, the people who were trying to sue, are, you know, they were already up and running, and they've just... You know, they anticipated this, and so they hit the ground running with negative ads on HH.
Okay.
I haven't seen any positive.
So I've printed out, so today, I mean, it's really taking off. Lots of stuff is taking off. So today I got an email from the Special District Association with this whole toolkit, and some of that I've already given to you, like the parts that show how HH will affect us year after year and all that kind of stuff. But I put three handouts in your packet.
And I have not even read through them. I just kind of skimmed the topics. But this one that says, what does my local government need to consider for fiscal year 2024 planning based on Proposition HH? So this is what they're talking about. They're calling this like talking points. So if we need to talk about it in the community, this is what the Special District Association is recommending that we say about HH.
I was going to say, I do recommend that, again, this has been one of those topics that is, it is not easy to understand.
Right.
It is not. And I think the people that are against it really have very strong roots based in Tabor, et cetera. And the only way that you can make a good solid argument one way or the other is to really try and, you know, wade through some of this stuff, even though there's nothing that just jumps out at you as being particularly good or bad. I have an opinion, but I'm not sure.
So
I'm always going to sound ignorant. So I'm reading this. It says the tax net revenue for the 2023 property tax year is collected in 2024. And my question is, when is it dispersed? Is it also dispersed in 2024?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this is the FAQ sheet. And then this next paper is the white paper considerations for budget planning. So I think this is probably going to be really more helpful to me than to you guys. But, you know, kind of looking at what some of the considerations that we need to think about for the budget, because I'm going to have to prepare two budgets, basically, at least two budgets. So so this will kind of help me through that whole process. And then, again, this is all coming from the Special District Association. So they provided us with a sample resolution. If the board wants to come out in opposition to this, to Proposition HH, this is a resolution that they offer to us if we'd like to do that. So, I mean, regardless, I mean, I have no idea until Friday. I really don't, and I don't even know Friday if I will know. I mean, I don't know if the assessor's office is going to give us two different numbers. I would hope that they would give us two different numbers. And then we can kind of be able to start to understand how this is going to impact us. Some of the other libraries that I've spoken with are saying that it's not going to really impact us at all. But there's just a lot of ifs, ands, or buts. Yeah. And, you know, like you do get backfill, but then the backfill runs out and all of those different pieces. So, so thank you to Ruth Ann and Karen for sitting through Susan's lesson.
I think we need to do it again, though.
Oh, it was
so
just,
and were you able to see the video? You
yes.
were able. Okay. And whoever else would like to see, if you would like to see the video,
it's a good
okay.
one.
Okay. Okay. I mean,
I laughed. I cried.
When Karen and Ruth Ann and I watched it, we watched about 5 minutes of it and then stopped and like, okay, this is it in English. So, I felt that way also when I sent out the letter from the SDA, even talking this week about the Colorado Supreme Court ruling. I'm like, this is not in English. I mean, it's in legalese. And so I tried to, okay, what does this boil down to? And the way I understand it is, okay, so now the Supreme Court's refusing to rule on it now. It has to go to the vote and then they'll look at it if it passes. So,
well, I think the thing that is so frustrating about it is that once you start talking to somebody, like let's say you walked up to one of the commissioners and you started talking, they definitely have a position on it. But whenever you question them and start kind of trying to peel back the layers, it really doesn't add up. It's something different than what we would have to consider, why it means something to the libraries. I'm trying to think of it in terms of specifically how it impacts us. And I don't get that sense when I talk to them. And when I talk to other people who are on these mill levies, they're all saying the same thing. They're saying, I just don't know what this all, how this plays out. And I think even the Supreme Court's response at this point says, okay, well, you guys, you know, get this, and then we'll look at it. If you can, you know, mm-hmm. we'll talk about it then. That says to me, this is, we're out in the weeds, and it's because we never paid the kind of attention to Tabor and what how those funds are used and et cetera. So it breaks down to a political argument that it's just hard to apply it to all of the different things that it impacts. So
I'm hoping that I will understand more Friday. So in between playing wiffle ball with my grandsons, I will forward that email that I get from the county, and hopefully it will give us the information we need at least to start thinking, you know, for how this might impact us. So.
Okay. The Cal Conference Trustee Training, Friday, October the 13th, 2023.
So I just had it on there again. I think we've only got one person going, Robert, right now. So I'll go ahead and register you.
Come on down.
I said I would go.
You want to go? Okay.
Carpool.
Okay.
Cool. I would love to, but I'm going to be out of town.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. See, it's actually in my calendar.
Okay, good. Good. Okay.
That's a look. I don't know why, but I have a feeling I have a judging assignment that weekend. We'd be flying that day. Okay. I don't have to look at the calendar.
I'm going to miss you, big
changes.
Are you sure you're going to be judging?
I have a calendar at home, and I'll have to go look at my calendar and then get back with you.
Are you going to be judging the one in November here?
As far as I know, yes. So that I don't have any assignments in November except for a show on the weekend before Thanksgiving, which is, I forget that date, but I'll be involved with 5 shows. They haven't saddled me yet with that. Being show chair, I'm trying to avoid that, but
you know,
nobody else has stepped up to the plate.
I know the way you feel about dogs, but if you could see it right now, my tail is wagging.
Normally, it causes whole body movement. Tail's not big enough.
Oh, right.
See, my dogs, when they have a little short tail, but their whole rear end moves side to side.
Yeah, I've got one of those. Okay. Public comment. Do we have anything that anybody needs to
add? So I actually wanted to jump in and say something. So we included in your packet the public comment guidelines. And I also emailed that to you, and also the public hearing procedures. So the public hearing procedures will need this if Amendment HH passes, Proposition HH, we have to have a special hearing about our mill levy. And we also always, yearly, we have to have a special hearing about our budget anyway. So that's why I included that. But then the public comment guidelines, I thought it's a good time to review this. I I think we're probably going to have some challenges coming up very soon. So just wanted to get you all aware of the procedure that we use for public comment. So.
I'm actually certain we are going to have some challenges, so.
With regard to?
Book challenges.
Oh, books, okay.
Douglas County is, in fact, they're voting on a deal, I think, tonight.
They are.
Their trustees are voting about four books that I'm hoping they'll come to their senses and.
Well, yeah.
Won't.
Oh, boy.
Do anything.
We just need to, again, go over the, our comment procedures and stuff so that we're on the same page. And when it goes out to the public, we're unified.
So, yeah, we had a verbal challenge today already, so.
Really?
Really?
So.
Wow.
On a book that we have?
On a book that we have.
A little more complicated than that, but.
Okay.
It's suffice it to say it's important that we go over these.
Okay.
Okay, does anybody else have any new items or business? Seeing none, can I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
A second.
Okay, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.